Education of our children doesn't begin and end at academia. There is a spiritual responsibility on each parent and teacher to nurture and train a young soul spiritually. This is called Chinuch. Join Rabbi G every Monday at 2 p.m. as he explores education and Chinuch for parents and teachers. Torah isn't education, it's transformation.
Well, 101.9 FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday between 2 to 3, where we discuss different topics, different issues, anything that will bring us closer to who we want to be, living in the world we want to live in, surrounded, influencing our friends, our families, our communities, and everybody around us into the shaping us as the nation and the people and who we want to be and the way we want to live. And we've been talking a lot lately about different topics from a professional point of view and doctors, etc. And sometimes it's time to just stop a second and celebrate. In the past nearly 2 years, every time we spoke on this show with different aspects and professionals about Israel, it was a very, generally I'd say, heavy conversation. And we speak a lot about the times that we're struggling and what we're going through and the pain we all have for the hostages and for the situation and for the war. And sometimes we just need to recognize when people in Israel are celebrating and what is happening there today specifically. As today, there is a very symbolic day called the Yom Yerushalayim. Yom Yerushalayim is the day that Israelis are celebrating the access to both parts of Jerusalem, the reunited it of the two sides and two parts that were separated until 1967, which denied access for Jews to the Western Wall, to the Kotel, as they call it there. And then in the Six-Day War, Israel achieved the ability to get there and to pray and to connect. And in this special day of Yom Yerushalayim, we have the opportunity to speak to Avi Kay, who is a guide at the Kotel, and very impressed that he gave us a few minutes today in Yom Yerushalayim, probably one of the more busiest day and special days that they have over there. And it's actually a very special opportunity to talk about, because anybody who's been in Jerusalem over what we call Chag HaShavuot knows what the Kotel looks like, knows how special it is to go there and to be there. And you know what? Let's hear from the professional. I'm going to step aside a second and be a bit quiet. Good afternoon, Avi. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Rabbi. Pleasure to be with you. And thank you for assuming that I'm in Jerusalem. I'm actually in Cyprus. I'm here for a family simcha. So unfortunately, I'm not in Jerusalem today, but celebrating.
I was wondering how we got the time on Yom Yerushalayim. Okay, so now we know. Okay. Yeah. So, but you are a guide at the Kotel, is that correct?
Yeah. So the truth is I've actually resigned as a guide in the Kotel. There's just too much going on in our lives at the moment. Thank God for positive. And it's not something I'm able to do. Still very connected with the Kotel Foundation and still take people to see certain places in the old city. I'm not a qualified tour guide as such like that. But because our son was murdered in the old city, we have a certain unique story to be able to tell. And you summed it up so beautifully, that the reunification of the two parts of Yerushalayim, but the important part was that we had access to the old city. We had access, therefore, to the Kotel, Har HaBayit, and everything else that comes with it. As Rav Goren said, those famous words, Har HaBayit Bayadenu, that the Temple Mount is in our hands. And that was the time where that famous photo of Rav Goren blowing the shofar by the Kotel. And really, just to summarize it in short, is that if you think of the amazing people over the last many, many years that have been part of building Israel, Rav Grossman is one of the famous people. He's well known across the spectrum of Judaism, from those that would consider themselves ultra-religious to those who would consider themselves non-observant. He runs this amazing institution, organization, where he looks after young boys at risk, and then he branched out to young girls at risk. And I think it's a fitting story to maybe tell for today. Rav Grossman says he was a young boy who lived in Mea Shearim in 1967, and the kotel was now open for Jews to come and daven. And he walked through Shaar Yafo as a young teenager for the first time in his life. He lived literally a kilometer or two down the road, never been allowed to go to the old city, go through Shaar Yafo. And as he walked in, he made a neder, he made a promise to Hashem that, Hashem, you've given us such a miracle, you've given us such a gift that Yerushalayim is now ours. I want to make sure that I repay it in kind, and I do everything I can to help Am Yisrael. And he went to speak to one of the Gedolim of the time, one of the Rabbonim that he was very close to. And please excuse me, I don't remember the rabbi's name. But he said to him that, I heard up north they've got problems in a certain town. Maybe you should go there. And that was the beginning of his shlichut. He went up there. It was a town that was totally secular. It was a town where Arab youngsters would come in on a Friday evening to pick up the Jewish girls. And we all know what that means as far as assimilation and the next generation of Jews just being cut off. Every shop was open on Shabbos. And for the first 2 or 3 years that Rav Grossman was there, he never davened Friday night in the shul because he camped outside the stores, and he convinced one shop owner after another to close on Shabbat. And not that he was looking to convert people to ultra-Orthodoxy. It was that he was infusing this idea of Kedusha, of holiness, into the place. And today, Rav Grossman's organizations are well-renowned, world-renowned, and he has saved, thank God, tens of thousands of young boys and girls. Why? Because he walked through Shaar Yafo. He recognized the miracle, and he said, Hashem, God, I need to do something miraculous to thank you for this. And that is the story of how Rav Grossman started his organization. I don't remember the name of the book, unfortunately, but I would strongly recommend that people read it. It's really, really, it's a book that gives you a reason as to why it's so important that Yerushalayim is united.
It really is fascinating, the way you describe it. If I'm not mistaken, because I remember so his father, Rav Yisrael Grossman, in Bet Israel over there. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the Pinskarlin Rebbe that was his Rav. And that's who he consulted with. As I got the privilege of being familiar with the family. So I want to ask you, as a guide who walks the streets of Jerusalem quite a lot, you're speaking with extreme enthusiasm, and you're very enthusiastic, very happy, very excited. At the same time, As a nation, it's the most special thing that we have that. On individual levels, there's different tragedies and different difficulties that people go. And not only from your personal journey, as you mentioned, your child was murdered there. If you walk the streets of Yerushalayim, you do see many memory signs and lots of pain in between. And I'm wondering, how you describe the excitement that led Rav Grossman to a journey of over 50 years, who is internationally known and recognized in a fascinating thing, which I have to comment, because the one time I met Rav Grossman in South Africa, and he mentioned that he's seen everything everywhere in the world except one thing he doesn't understand, which is load shedding. But that's a different topic. Anyway, sitting with him in the dark, yet, what I'm wondering is, walking today the streets of Yerushalayim so consistently with everything going on over there, can you still feel that special feeling, that special touch in a person's heart that led him on a journey of over 50 years internationally? Just the random person walking Jerusalem, is it still that way?
So the answer is a little bit more complex than a yes or a no. By the way, I'm sure Rabbi Grossman's nickname is the Disco Rabbi.
Yes, definitely.
He thought that, he asked where all the youth on Friday night, he said they're at the disco. So he thought the disco was a shul, like the name of a shul, Disco Shul.
And it's not a bad name, but yeah, for a shul.
In his sotuk and his shtaimel in the corner, trying to work out what these youngsters were doing. So to answer your question, I remember speaking to my aunt who lives in Hanof, who's been in Eretz Yisrael, thank God, for over 50 years. And I said to her, when Yom HaTzmaut comes and all the flags get put up and you just get the sense of connection, is this as exciting for you as it is for me, or who's only been here for a year or two? And she says, I say Shechianu every year, because the excitement is the same. But we run a risk that one stone looks like the next. One building looks like the next. And if you go to a holy city like Jerusalem and you don't have some sort of guide, someone to take you around, or a program as to what you want to see and understand how it works, it becomes overwhelming and everything just becomes very monotonous. So the advice I always give people is that you can feel almost nothing, or you can be moved to change your life. And the latter was what happened to my wife and I when we went to Yerushalayim.
It's up to you.
As of a soldier who was swearing in at a swearing ceremony at the Kotel. And we stood there at the Sanchanim swearing in at Chativat Chetz, which stands for Haredim, but Sanchanim, it's a Frum unit, a Dati unit, a religious unit in paratroopers. And we stood there and we looked at this cross spectrum of Judaism standing in front of us, young men swearing that they will protect this country. Our lives were changed. And I encourage people to make a move and go and visit Eretz Israel, if you haven't. And if you've been there and you haven't felt something, connect with somebody who can help you. There are many South Africans, John T. Blackman, there's Wayne Jacobson, lots of South Africans who are incredible tour guides, who are passionate about the
and
history in Tanakh, and they'll give you a really good rounding.
Amazing, amazing. I want to continue just a bit more, and we do have a short ad break that we need to take. Let's take a short ad break, and when we come back, we'll continue shortly for this discussion. If you have a small business, think about this. Imagine you ran an amazing special offer, and imagine Chai FM told 125,000 people about it. Imagine we also posted your special offer on our social media platforms and listed you on our website. And imagine you could do all of that on a month-to-month basis. What would that be worth to you? Chai FM has a special stimulus package for small businesses, and you should get in touch to find out more. Email info at chaifm.com or send a text to 27618951019, and you should get and we will call you. 101.9 Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of building community businesses.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back. And right before the break, I was talking to Avi Kay, who was a tour guide in Jerusalem, but is very connected with the streets of Jerusalem and tours and knows and very strongly reminding and you know, whenever we speak of Jerusalem, this sounds a lot of what to say. And I want to ask you, Avi, as a South African who is now in Jerusalem, it was now in living in Israel, and in that connection, the experience of the reunite of Jerusalem together with Chag HaShavuot, watching tens of thousands of people walk towards the morning and throughout the day. I've personally once saw a person who walked 2.5 hours to get to the Kotel on Shavuos, somebody who went through Auschwitz, and he was, you know, attempted murdered a few times, and he managed. The joy and happiness was beyond anything I would ever be able to describe in my life. What is that for someone who is making Aliyah, moving there, is new for that? From what you hear from people, if you haven't been there yourself, how does that connection affect people?
So thank you so much for bringing it up and so much for bringing a different angle to Yom Yerushalayim. I remember walking as a young student in yeshiva. I was in Kfar Chabad and I went to Shavuot. I was in Yerushalayim for Shavuot, and I actually walked to the Kotel with the Boston Rebbe. There was a whole group that walked from Harnot. The truth is that I was overwhelmed. Lots of people. It was very, very intense, and I was very, very tired. But putting that aside, isn't that what we are all about? Isn't that what Har HaBayit, Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, isn't that what it's all about? Is that Hashem, God, tells us 3 times a year you should go up to Yerushalayim and you should come and you should be together with your brothers and sisters from around the country and you should celebrate in my holy days of Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And here we can do it, not in its full extent. We don't have the temple. We don't have the services in the temple. But we, as brothers and sisters, make that pilgrimage. Jews come from all over Israel to be in Jerusalem, to be in Jerusalem, and they go up there. And it is peaceful, but it's pulsating with the energy of unity, an energy of oneness, and an energy of pleading that, please God, next year we will hear the trumpets, we'll hear the shofar, we'll see the priest doing the service. And that's ultimately what it's all about. And Rabbi, I'm so grateful for you having brought that point in, because that's what the reunification of Jerusalem is all about. For some people, they say it's the beginning of the ultimate redemption. Other people believe that it's a tremendous miracle and we still have a ways to go, be it as it may. When you stand shoulder to shoulder, chest to chest with your brother at the Kotel, praying on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, or even on a Shabbat or a Monday and a Thursday when the Torah is read, you realize that we are living in special times. How Jews, as you said, dodged the gas chambers. 6 million of them didn't make it, and they would have given anything to be in our place. So we need to be grateful. We need to be appreciative. We need to give praise and thanks to Hashem and to God and to all those tens of thousands of Jews and many non-Jews who gave their lives, that we can walk as free and proud people in Jerusalem. And to echo Amazing. The words of my daughter when she stood in the high court, when she gave testimony after Eli was murdered. She said, the only reason I'm here is that we as Jews will not be intimidated. We will walk freely in our cities. We will walk in peace, but we will walk freely. Rabbi, thank you so much for
thank you,
me
Avi, for being with us today. Really special, and enjoy your travel back to Israel and being there at the right time, celebrating Mazel Tov, and we'll be in touch. Continuing our discussion, we will be joined shortly by a few more guests that we have here. I'm going to be speaking to a person who is from Israel, and he's part of the Foreign Affairs Ministry. His name is Benjamin Karsana, and he will be joining us regarding Yom Yerushalayim for him and the discussion from that side of the Israelis. What is it for the Israelis, and how do Israelis feel it? People that are not maybe living in Jerusalem, or Israelis from all over, anybody connected. Good afternoon, Benjamin. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Okay. So you are from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Israel, and you are... Is Israel, as a general, celebrating today Yom Yerushalayim, or is that more of a local city celebration?
Well, as you caught me, I am actually right now in Cape Town, where I was happy to celebrate last night with the Jewish community here. So I'm here in South Africa at the moment.
Okay. And the focus of the journey and the work that you are doing?
Yeah, so I've spent a few weeks here in South Africa. Okay. Trying to help provide some support to our embassy, trying to engage with local politicians, trying to engage, obviously, working closely with our Jewish community and our friends here, and really learning more about this country and seeing ways how we can do more to strengthen our position here in South Africa with the broader spectrum of South African society.
So considering the relationship between South Africa and Israel, are you more optimistic now or less optimistic that you're here?
Listen, I think I'm more realistic.
That doesn't sound optimistic.
I recognize that we do have a lot of friends here in South Africa. And we have people who understand Israel, the challenges that we're facing. The people who are at the base are supportive of Israel. And that's a large portion of South African society. And those are the people who we are working to strengthen our relations with. And I think that also we're finding that more and more there are people who may not have a position, but are certainly open to hearing from us. And I think that that's why one of the reasons why we're working here and why we've kept our embassy open throughout.
Definitely a very strong feeling in the Jewish community regarding the connection with the Israeli country and the society. What would you say is something we can do as a community to strengthen that relationship?
Well, it's not coincidence that we're speaking on Yom Yerushalayim. And certainly I think that we all need to be united in our support of Yerushalayim. We have to recognize that all sectors of society, Yerushalayim is important. We have to be able to explain to people that since 1967, the last 58 years, Jerusalem has never been more open, more accessible for people of all faiths to enjoy the city, to visit. We have to make sure that everyone understands that we understand ourselves the importance of building unity. And building unity means also having a united Jerusalayim, that all Jews and actually all people of faith who are looking for peace and, you know, believe in the Bible and others can embrace the city of Jerusalayim, which under Israel's possession has returned, as we say, Atara LeYoshna, we're returning glory as it once was and once and should remain. And that's really how we look at it. And I encourage people to make sure and not shy away from making that very, very clear, especially on a day like Yom Yerushalayim.
Right. Why is that a debate? Meaning Jerusalem was separated till 1967 when Jews had no access to the Arab side, Arabs had no access to the Jewish side. Now that it's united, everybody has access to everywhere, and it's open and connected, and Jews, non-Jews, anywhere, anybody can go through Jerusalem and every side of it. Why is it a question even that it's a good thing?
Listen, I think it goes back to a bigger question about the political debate that had emerged after 1967. And certainly that was the reunification. But certainly our belief is that whatever the end results can be, that Yerushalayim must be united and must be under Israel's sovereignty. I think also that we need to understand that we need to say it to our own. Okay, we need to recommit to Yerushalayim. We need to make sure that when we take our kids over to Yerushalayim, they learn more about the history. They understand that it came through struggle. And through struggle, you create miracles. When you look at certain sections of society who on the one hand love Yerushalayim today as a city and as an epicenter for Jewish study and Jewish learning and Jewish scholarship, something that didn't exist for thousands of years, and now it has become that center. But that came also through a struggle and through a sacrifice. And so that there are people even who live in Yerushalayim today need to understand that this isn't something that you can just take for granted. With so many, but it's 58 years, and many don't recall a time when we did it on Yerushalayim.
Yeah, definitely. Benjamin, before we end, firstly, I really appreciate that you've been with us today. Just last question, what do you wish and hope that we would know as the Jewish people and the Jewish society around the world globally that will improve our relationships and connection and give us a better future together?
Listen, I think the first, and I mentioned the context of Yerushalayim. We've had a Jewish state for 77 years, okay? Which, of course, in Hebrew is Ayin Zayin, which means it has tremendous oaths, it has tremendous power, okay? We have Yerushalayim, which now we've owned for 58 years, which also means Nun Chet, which also stands for Chen and has charm and grace. But we have to understand and make sure our kids know this. And not only that, but all society know it. Because 77 years since the foundation of the state, many people, including amongst our own Jewish communities, don't know what it was to live in a world without a state of Israel. And many, many also don't know, because we've only had a unified Yerushalayim for 58 years, and they need to understand that it's not something to take for granted and something that we have to recommit to, and that we may even have debates among ourselves. But over those issues, over the importance of the world and for Jewish people being a better place with a state of Israel and with a united Yerushalayim, that's what we all have to commit and be united around.
Amazing. And please God, we never will know what it would be like, and we will stand strong as a nation going to all better futures. Benjamin Karasana, thank you so much for being with us today, and welcome to South Africa.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. So that was Benjamin Karasana, who is from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Israel, and we are going to take a very short break, and when we come back, we're going to go into our next discussion with quite a few young guests here in studio, and we're going to be discussing the different projects that they are involved with through the JNF of South Africa. Short break. We will be right back.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back and we are going to our next very important chat and discussion. And important because we're talking with people that have actually done something about Yom Yerushalayim today in South Africa. And love to hear more about it because this is what we do. We talk about education and anything around that. So the JNF South Africa together with two of their Israeli shlichot have gone around the schools and celebrated with them Yom Yerushalayim with different programs. Let's get to know them and understand a bit about what was happening there today. So firstly, good afternoon to Kiki Shelped, you are here in South Africa, the South African one of the group, and you are the youth and school coordinator. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, let's get to know you a second. Just a word about you and about your position in the organization, your job.
Yes, so I have been working for the JNFSA for 2 years now, and we've recently started a youth division wherein we are promoting our agenda and including younger people within our spectrum of what we do. And that was why we were in the schools today and celebrating Yom Yerushalayim with the kids, which was just an unbelievable experience. But that's my role. I am here to make the JNFSA approachable for older and for younger people.
Okay, sounds amazing. And good afternoon to Sharon Werner. You are the JNF Israeli Shlicha.
Right, yeah, good afternoon.
Okay, so a bit about you and how long have you been here and the work you do, the role you take here.
Okay, so I'm a volunteer from Israel, Shlicha, through the JNF. Me and Michal, we arrived to South Africa last Monday.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, but we were in Durban before, so we only arrived to Johannesburg yesterday. And it's actually my second time doing this kind of mission in the South Africa. I've been here last year also, and very happy to be here.
Okay, so King David Schools is not that new to you, even though you're only here for a day or two. Okay. And good afternoon to Michal Taylor.
Good afternoon. Shalom.
Okay. Shalom, shalom. And you are here from Israel as a shlicha as well. When did you come?
Yeah, we came together on Monday.
Okay.
Like Sharon said, we've been with the community in Durban and came yesterday to Johannesburg.
Is this your first visit to
it's
South
my
Africa?
My first time in South Africa.
Okay. Yeah. And meeting the kids of the South African community generation. What's the first impression?
Wow, it's amazing. First of all, the community is so warm and nice. Nice people, and the kids are sweet and educated, and it was such an experience to be with them this morning.
Amazing. Sharon, what does Yom Yerushalayim mean to you?
Wow. I feel like it's a religious holiday for me. It's not on just an Israel, it's a very Israeli day, but it's a day of gratitude for getting Jerusalem back, and experiencing it outside of Israel is even more significant for me to see how involved the community is and what a beautiful celebration they had yesterday and today. It was very special.
Amazing, amazing. Michal, what was the program you actually did in the schools?
So we've been today morning in primary school in
King David Linksfield.
Okay.
And we did kind of like the TV show, The Golden Taxi. And we did like a trivia for the kids and like dancing with them. And now on the second one, the high school of
King David Victory Park.
Okay.
They had kind of a carnival of many stations. And we ran like the Shuk, the market, the Machne Yehuda station. And also we have... The kids could write letters to the hostages' families and to the soldiers.
So that's what they did today?
Yeah.
Sounds amazing. The idea of bringing in Yom Yerushalayim into the schools, it's not such a popular day in the Jewish community in Israel. I mean, they have, I'm not saying it's not popular, but there's more popular ones. Where did that start from?
Well, I think that, you know, we put so much emphasis on Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaut and, you know, all of our other Jewish holidays. Why are we not emphasizing the incredible miracle that happened in the Six-Day War in 1967, and you know, taking back what is rightfully ours. And you know, we want to create a connection not only to the land of Israel, but to the miracles that took place and the miracles that take place there every single day. And I think that it's important for us to bring it to the forefront, because it is such a recognizable holiday, and it should be celebrated, and it should be, we should recognize it in every single way that we can, because there's just so much to it. How could we forget about it?
Definitely not. Yet, is there actually familiarity between the kids in our community, and just on a general level? I know that's a very general question, and what's happening today in Israel and Jerusalem specifically. I mean, it is a very historical and amazing place to be in, Jerusalem, very touching. At the same time, you know, that one of the guests today on the show was Avi Kay, who lost his son in Jerusalem, and is very involved in Jerusalem these days. How do we balance all of that?
Sure. It's hard, especially because they're young. And, you know, you don't really know exactly what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate to expose them to at such a young age. But I think that it's important that they understand what happened. I think that kids do understand, and they do know about the Six-Day War, and they know that Jerusalem was, you know, taken back and, you know, under the rightful possession of Israel and the RDF. But I don't know if there's such a big understanding of the magnitude of the miracle that was of Yom Yerushalayim. And balancing it, I think that it's our job as educators, and not only our job, but the job of parents and teachers and anyone who can, to spread the message and to spread the awareness that you know, the miracle of Jerusalem, not only did it happen in 1967, but it continues to happen every single day, because we know how things go. And we cannot take it for granted.
Right. And it's very easy to take it for granted, because everybody who goes to Israel visits the Western Wall, the Kotel. It's like a very natural thing. And to think that less than 60 years ago that was not available is quite fascinating.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, we celebrate Yom Yerushalayim, yet 1967 war, Israel grew 3 times its size. Does that come into play in the discussion with the students? Is that something people are aware of, how big of a change it went through, and how Israel became a country that can actually defend its borders because it's such a wide, much bigger country? Sharon, does that come up in discussions? Is that something that you teach? Is something that we need to discuss?
So today was more about celebrating Jerusalem, and tomorrow we're also going to
We're going to King David Victory Park as well as Yeshiva College.
Okay. Yes.
And we'll have some more serious sessions with the kids and discussions. And it might come up. We're prepared for anything.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Michal, what is something that is so natural to you that the kids in our community were surprised to hear about? If there is such a thing.
So I live in Jerusalem.
Okay.
And my...
Where in Jerusalem?
Paris Square, just across the street from the Great Synagogue.
Okay. Oh, so wow. So your side wasn't liberated. It was always Israel.
Okay. Yeah, I like to be in the Rovite. Yeah, so actually, like, in like every Yom Yerushalayim, I'm going to the Gag,
to the roof?
To the roof of the building, and to watch the parade. The Jerusalem parade going next to my house. But I think that something I want to say, like, we live in Jerusalem, like, the same as here. And, like, we have this ice cream in Jerusalem and the bars in Jerusalem. Like, our life is really regularly in, like, you know, like, this holy place. And I hope we never take it as... obvious thing. I think this is my message.
Amazing. Amazing. Did anything surprise you about what the kids know or don't know today about Jerusalem?
So we asked them some questions. It was a trivia activity, and their knowledge was surprising. Like, they knew some of the harder questions, we asked. And I think the community is very, very educated.
Amazing. Well, that's quite impressive. Were you surprised how educated the community is?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, we did the Golden Cab, right? And okay. We had kids from grades 1 to 7.
Did they know about the Miflitzet? Sorry, I have to ask.
We didn't have a question about the Miflitzet.
Okay, so it was a hard question.
Is it okay. famous here, the Miflitzet?
That's what makes it a hard question.
Okay. Okay. I mean, is it like bad if I don't know what a Miflitzet is?
then you never lived in Jerusalem, sorry.
I lived there when it was COVID, so you have to give me the benefit of the doubt. But the kids were actually quite knowledgeable. I think from the ages of grade 1 to 7, we had some general questions about Jerusalem, some Hebrew translations, and some things like some questions that were, you know, related to what the history of Jerusalem. And I think that, like, between, you know, all of them, they were able to string some amazing answers together. And honestly, I think that the educators are just doing such a good job at, you know, at educating their students and making sure that they have knowledge. I mean, there were some questions that did go unanswered, but someone in the school was able to answer them, you know, whatever it was, whether it was from the crowd or from the teams, everyone, we did manage to get some great answers from the kids.
So between all the knowledge, everything does come to
play.
It
does, yes, it does.
I would like to add something that really impressed me in school, that they really integrate both cultures, and I was really impressed by that. Like in the beginning, they had a poem in Zulu about Jerusalem. And for me, I didn't know that there is something like this. So I was really, really impressed.
That multicultural, but I guess that's also in Jerusalem and that side of things. However, we can't ignore that sometimes things are difficult there in Jerusalem. How do we address that? And, you know, you said you live there. And there are times that there's more terrorist attacks than another. There are times that there's more intense moments. There are times of silence. There are times of difficulties. How do you balance that celebration today of the happiness of the united of the city while understanding the heavy price that brings with no border?
I think from the independence war, the life in Israel is not easy. But it doesn't mean, like, we still have it.
It's meaningful, not easy.
It's not, yeah, and we need to deal with some stuff, some of them really, really hard, but the thing that we have it, so I think that is like the meaningful thing.
Okay, sounds amazing. We didn't take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up with a few more questions. Short break, and we'll be right back. Discam Wellness Clinic for Adults offer convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you are having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Discam Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Discam Wellness Clinic inside. Discam Pharmacists, better health starts here.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and we are ending off the show with a very busy show with many, many different guests. Yet, I'm still here with three of the guests, and I just want to ask you, because I'm here with Kiki Shalped, is that how you pronounce it?
Shalped.
Okay. Yes. You are the Youth and School Coordinator at the JNFSA, and when we talk about youth, what is it about youth that you do different or special for the youth here?
Well, I think what's so special about the youth in the regard of the JNF is that it is creating a space that's welcoming to anyone and everyone. You know, there isn't really a religious standard that it comes with or a political standard. We're trying to create a space that allows, you know, anyone to come in and, you know, learn about Israel and Zionism and the environment, as well as, you know, come together and be with Jews that are like-minded and want the same things for Israel and have the same hopes and dreams as the Jewish people.
That sounds fascinating. So we do have to wrap up the show, and I want to ask each of you the same question. What do you hope and wish that we would know as a community to make our Jewish life better in the future?
I would like to say, we just, as we said, I came from Durban, very, very small community compared to here. And it was amazing to see how, like, different people become together if you have like a small community. And we have, I think, the same problem in Israel. There is so many people around, and when we are too much, we start arguing. So I hope for to be like more unit and more together, even then that we have differences and we can have like friends exactly like us. I hope we can understand that we all one community.
Amazing that unity is extremely crucial and important. Michal?
Sharon,
sorry, that was Michal, and now you're Sharon. You see, at my age, it becomes difficult. Sharon.
I think since the beginning of the war, we in Israel felt the support from Jewish communities abroad very strongly. And I don't know if you here know how much we appreciate it and how much it is important to us to know that we are not alone.
It's actually quite amazing and very special to hear, Kiki.
I'd say just to continue to spread the light and love of Torah and mitzvot, and very similar to what like Michal said, is just to not box anyone into a particular box and to allow, you know, we're all Jewish, we're all Am Echad B'Lev Echad, and just to all come together and allow that to continue to connect us.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you
for the work
you're
doing
much.
For the community. It's really impressive. So just to say thank you to all our guests today on the show, Kiki Shalped, Michal Taylor, Sharon Werner, we have Avi Kay, as well as Benjamin Karsina. Thank you, Craig, for managing the show perfectly. Thank you, Senna, for putting the interviews in place. And thank you to our listeners that are here with us week after week and different topics, different discussions. Just to say that next week we will not be here because it will be Chag HaShavuot, and we are going to celebrate that. And the week after, we have a very special talk with the parents that are putting out their second book, As Parents for a Child with Special Needs for 36 Years. Very important topic. We will be back in 2 weeks on Monday. In the meantime, enjoy your Chag and stay safe.